On yesterday's little sermonette, we talked about how we should realize more the fact that our Lord is here in the Blessed Sacrament with all of his same powers, all of his same love, and all of his same virtue that he had in those days when he walked the streets of Jerusalem. He is no different. We don't see here his human nature, but it exists there. And though he doesn't walk in our streets, nonetheless, he still has all the power that he had when he lived those 33 years in Jerusalem. And I'd like to tell you a story that's been told here quite a few times over the past few years, but still one that is worth hearing again and again. And it's about a little girl who truly realized that God was really, truly in the Holy Sacrament. It's that story, by the way, when Bishop Sheen, just months before his death, he was asked, "Who is it? You, Bishop Sheen, have inspired so many people all over the world by your sermons. Who is it that inspired you?" Well, he said, this was just a couple of months before his death, he said, "It wasn't a pope, it wasn't cardinals, it wasn't priests. It was a little girl, 11 years of age, who lived in China." Now, I think you know the story, but the story goes like this. The communists had then taken over China. Of course, there were the persecutions waged against the Catholic Church, the Catholic clergy, and the sacraments. And in this one little village, the communists came and they arrested the priest and they locked him up inside the rectory. And his rectory was treated as a sort of jail where there was a guard stationed outside all day and all night so that he could not escape. Well, as soon as they locked him up in his rectory, they marched right back in, the communists did, right back into the church. And they ripped open the tabernacle, and they took out the ciborium, and they threw it on the floor. And the sacred host scattered everywhere near the altar, on the floor of the sanctuary. And the priest knew what was going on. Maybe he was able to see it somehow from his window, but in any case, he knew. And he knew the exact number of hosts contained in that ciborium, 32. Well, little did any of the communist soldiers know. They either didn't see her or just ignored her, but this little 11-year-old girl was sitting in the back of the church watching in horror as the communist officials or soldiers committed that awful sacrilege. But she left. And later that night, she came back, and she had to sneak past the guards. She managed to do it right past the guards of the rectory, and into the church she marched. And she went into the church, into the sanctuary, and she knelt before the sacred hosts, and she made a holy hour. You see, for the act of hatred that the communists did against the Blessed Sacrament, she made an act of love. Holy hour, an act of reparation. And after the hour was over, reverently, she knelt down and with her tongue, she took one of the hosts and received her Holy Communion that day. And she did that every night for 32 nights. And then after she received the 32nd host and the last one, it says that she made some noise and it woke the guards, and the guards ran in to see what was going on, and they dragged her outside, and one of the guards beat her to death with the butt of his rifle. A martyr for the Blessed Sacrament. A sad story, but a beautiful story that shows how much this 11-year-old girl realized it's not just a symbol, it's not just an inanimate object. God is there. The same God that all of the martyrs of the Colosseum were killed for. He is here. He is worth being killed for. He is worth, our life is worth it. The giving up of our life is worth it. So think of that. And remember the love with which he is here. Remember, that story, by the way, was what inspired Bishop Sheen to make a promise to God that he would make a holy hour every day for the rest of his life. He kept that. He kept that. He kept that promise. And hopefully, it was because of that, that even despite the fact that he fell and went right along with the Novus Ordo, maybe our Lord saw that and took it into consideration, and at the last moment gave him the grace of conversion and the grace of saving his soul. We pray God for that. But in any case, this story inspired him to make an act of love, the holy hour. For he said, this is one of my favorite quotes of Bishop Sheen, "The greatest love story is contained in a tiny white post." That's another one worth reflecting on, so many quotes. And yet we see the love of the Sacred Heart, and yet we see on the flip side of the coin the ingratitude of man. How often our churches are empty, no one here to adore. And then you think of all the sacrileges too. What awful stories we hear when we read what happened in the French Revolution, say, the desecrations of the Holy Eucharist and the tabernacles. How many Catholics even today will have no qualm of conscience about approaching the communion rail in the state of mortal sin, or, which is more rare but does happen, when the sacred host is stolen for the purpose of using it in the Black Mass, or simply the irreverent behaviors in church in the presence of our Lord. And then, of course, there's the great, great sin of the Novus Ordo. They wanted him completely out of their church, so they changed the words of consecration. They changed the formula for the consecration of bishops and ordination of priests, just to ensure that there would be no valid Mass, no valid Eucharist. They hate the Church of Christ, and they got rid of the Holy Eucharist as a result. Then this story, though, of that little girl should encourage us all to love our Lord back. How do we do that? In a practical sort of sense, it's not all about feeling, for sure. And this is something you can do either at church or at home, but better at church, to make acts of reparation towards the Sacred Heart and the Holy Eucharist for all of these sins, the sins that we commit against the Blessed Sacrament, the sins that others commit. It could be even, just as a nota bene, could even be that we don't make good enough preparations for Holy Communion, or not good enough thanksgivings afterwards, or we're distracted purposely as soon as we receive our Lord. But in any case, all of these things deserve an act of reparation. How can you do these? What are some good ways to do it? And it doesn't attract any attention. You can make a holy hour. We have the holy hour here every Thursday evening, even when a priest isn't here. Or when you come in, just make your genuflections reverent. Good posture, and not too hasty, but not too slowly so as to attract attention either. Or say prayers of reparation. The act of reparation to the Sacred Heart is always a good one. You can find that in your missals. Make communions of reparation. Your behavior in church. Less talking to others, and more talking to our Blessed Savior. There are so many other ways. When you go home, don't forget the Holy Eucharist. This is the last thought. And this is a practice that many people did when they couldn't make it to church. They would kneel down in the direction of their church. And then from their home, they would talk to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament in their tabernacle. Don't forget, you can also make visits that way in your spiritual communions of reparation too. These are all ways of showing our love and our dedication to our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.